commanded, his voice low and menacing. I turned my head to gaze at Stephen's corpse, a mix of horror and arousal washing over me.
Come for me while you stare at his dead body.
Death growled, pushing me harder toward climax. And with one final thrust, I shattered into a million pieces, screaming out in both pleasure and revulsion. Death's breathing quickened, and a guttural growl escaped him. I'm not on birth control, I cried.
I know.
With one final slam, his body jerked as his seed spilled into me. He stilled, then he pulled out and stood. Death grabbed my arm and jerked me to my feet. He led me to the counter, picked me up, and placed me on top of the cold granite. He spread my legs, focusing on my pussy.
You look so beautiful with my cum dripping from your cunt.
He swirled his fingertips through it and pushed his seed back inside me. The corners of his mouth twitched as an evil grin curved into place, mixing our juices. He seized my jaw and thrust his fingers between my lips.
Suck.
His semen exploded on my tongue and coated my throat, every second enthralling yet terrifying me at the same time. Once I'd cleaned off all traces of him, he backed away.
Don't move.
My fingers clenched and unclenched as he began to collect cleaning supplies. I could feel the color drain from my cheeks as reality seeped through the cracks of my addled and thoroughly fucked brain. Death knew exactly where everything was in my kitchen. Chapter 21, Ella. I shifted on my living room couch, staring at the ceiling. My heart was heavy, and my mind swirled in a whirlwind of emotions from the events. I stared at the spot where Death had overpowered Stephen and slit his throat, then fucked me into delirium. I questioned my sanity as I recalled the mind-blowing sex next to Stephen's corpse. But I wanted it. I wanted Death. Something inside me had shifted toward him instead of away. I shuddered at the memory of me standing in front of my mirror, naked and covered in blood. It had taken me an hour to scrub off every drop of crimson sin from my skin and hair. Once I'd finished, Death hauled Stephen's now naked body to the bathtub and dumped him in. He handed me a full-face gas mask, and I gawked at him in disbelief. My stomach clenched. You're not going to do what I think you are.
Put it on.
He waited as he slipped his into place. Where did you get all of this? I pointed to the jugs lined up on the floor near my tub. He ignored my question, focusing on the body. Horrified and repulsed, I gasped as Death poured multiple bottles of chemicals over Stephen's body. As hard as I tried, I couldn't turn away as Stephen's body dissolved within minutes and disappeared down my drain.
I'll clean your tub and leave the fans on. Don't come back in here for at least 8 hours. Use your other bathroom.
Even after I'd opened myself to Death and my darkest desires, I couldn't deny that a monster had saved me from a monster. I had no fucking clue how to reconcile that. I should tell my therapist, but I couldn't confide in someone about Death. They were legally bound to report a killer to the authorities. And how the hell would I ever explain that I was ravished in his victim's blood and not be arrested right along with him? My feelings flip-flopped again, and a rush of fear and anger consumed me as I recalled how he'd forced me to stay still and allow his seed to remain in my body. The moment he had left, I rushed to my bedroom and opened my nightstand drawer, frantically searching for my morning after pill. But it was gone. A quick call to the pharmacy had taken care of that, and I took the first dose as soon as I picked it up. I refused to carry a serial killer's baby. 3 texts from Sebastian had come through in the last 12 hours,
and I hadn't responded to any. Scrolling through Spotify, I found my Pissed Off playlist, and Desire by Violet Orlandi blasted through my Alexa speaker. I stumbled through a strange combination of fear, excitement, and longing as I thought of Death's touch and mouth on my body. I shouldn't want him. Sebastian was the kind of man that I should be pursuing. He was strong, solid in his beliefs in wanting to help women and children. He was a good man. My pulse raced as I thought about him, wishing he were here with me. Sebastian's presence was safe and comforting, and a part of me wanted to get lost in him, escape the insanity I was living in. I shook my head in an attempt to clear the dark clouds muddying my brain, but I could not deny the way my heart raced when I thought of both men, the angel and the devil. I was ashamed for daring to have such conflicting emotions, yet powerless to resist the pull between them. I buried my face in my hands, feeling foolish but unable to stop the thrill that came from pushing boundaries. But Death saved my life. It's proof that he isn't completely consumed by the urge to kill. I suspected that in Death's mind, his killings had a rhyme and reason. I just wasn't sure what that was yet. I Put Something in Your Drink by Ramsey pulsed through the house, and a plan began to form. I had no idea who Death, aka Shadow Whisperer, was. I knew two different personas, the one on camera and the other in my home, but I had never seen him unless it was dark or he had a Grim Reaper mask over his head. I wanted to learn more. I needed to know more. My curiosity has always gotten me in trouble, and this situation was no different. With a solid plan in place, I attempted to relax and finally read Sebastian's messages. Sebastian, I miss you. I can't wait to see you. A few hours later, I know you're busy, but text me when you can. I groaned. I sure as hell couldn't mention that I'd been busy getting fucked senseless while a dead body was on my kitchen floor. The last message. I hope you're okay. You usually respond sooner. I'm just worried because of Stephen. If I don't hear from you by noon tomorrow, I'll send someone to check on you. I closed my eyes and held the phone to my chest, his words warming my heart. How could I want to be with him but be drawn to Death as well? Blowing out a breath, I texted Sebastian. Me. Sorry, I'm fine, I promise. I was with Dad, then came home and crashed. It's been a long, exhausting day. Miss you too. Stay safe. Guilt gnawed at me for lying to him, but it wasn't like I could tell him the truth. That a serial killer was stalking me and had killed Stephen in my kitchen. Turning my thoughts from the gruesome situation, I focused on the fact that Sebastian was helping women and kids escape abusive situations. My phone rang with Cammy's special ringtone, and I answered. Bitch, I know your dad isn't doing well, but I haven't heard from you in 2 days. What the hell is happening? You're scaring the crap out of me. I cringed as Cammy continued to let me have it. I'm sorry, I never meant to scare you. It's just, how the hell could I explain to Cammy about Sebastian and his work, especially since I'd signed a non-disclosure form after Sarah's drop-off? I wish I could talk to you about it, Cammy, but I signed an NDA. What? Her voice dropped, curiosity lacing her words. Why? I can't tell you. It would risk a lot of lives. So it's a work thing. Like about a criminal case. Bingo. I'll run with that. Yeah, it's pretty big and it has me stressed out, but there is something else, too. I just can't talk here. Then what are you waiting for? Get your cute ass over here. See you soon. I ended the call, relieved to be getting out of the house. Once I had dressed and brushed my hair, I headed out to gather what I needed for Death's next visit. I knocked on Cammy's door, anxiously tapping my foot on the floor. The choice to share certain details about Stephen had me nearly crawling up the walls with anxiety, but I couldn't process it all on my own. Dad had always told me it took more strength to ask for help than to shoulder it on my own. My throat tightened as tears welled in my eyes. Soon, he wouldn't be around to drop those tidbits of wisdom, and I wasn't sure how I would manage without him. The door swung open, sucking me out of the devastating reality threatening to gobble me up. Cammy took my wrist and tugged me inside her apartment before tightly hugging me. She broke away and grabbed my shoulders. "Don't you ever scare me like that again, or I'll beat your ass and brag to your dad how easy it was." We stared at each other in silence, then burst into giggles. I hugged her again. "I'm sorry. You'll understand when I tell you what I can. Plus, I need your help." Cammy closed the door behind us, flipped the deadbolt, and secured the chain. "Drink? I can make some mimosas, or if this is some really big shit, we can just pass the bottle of Jack around." I glanced at my watch. "It's not even noon yet." "Your point?" She dug a hair tie from the front pocket of her boyfriend jeans and pulled her hair up. "I have a feeling this is about your stalker. If I'm right, we'll cut to the chase and I'll get 2 straws and the bottle of whiskey." I pointed at her. "Probably that, but I'll need some food or I'll get sick from drinking." "Like I don't know that after our college days." She motioned for me to follow her into the kitchen. I grinned as finger sandwiches, crackers, meat, and cheese were on plates, ready for us to munch on. "Start talking. I don't have all day. Where the hell have you been? I still want to know more about this mysterious NDA, but if it's for work, I understand that you can't." She pushed up on her tiptoes and located 2 glass tumblers. I climbed onto the black leather bar stool and grabbed a few crackers and squares of meat and cheese. Cammy poured a shot into my glass and slid it to me. She leaned against the opposite side of the counter and propped her elbows up, staring a hole through me. "Talk." I squared my shoulders, prepared to tell her about last night. "Are you sure?" If she were in my shoes, I would be worried about her and call the cops if she told me she was raped by her stalker and liked it. It wasn't healthy, especially when I had an amazing guy wanting to spend time with me. He was a hero, not a murderer. "There's a case, and I can't give you the details, but the man involved came after me last night." Cammy's mouth dropped. "What the hell? Hun, are you okay?" "Traumatized, but he didn't hurt me. He tried, but I snatched up my whiskey and downed it, needing some liquid courage before I told her the rest. "Holy shit. This must be some intense stuff if you just slam that back like it was water." She grabbed my glass and poured another shot for me. "I had just gotten home when the guy showed up." I shivered, the memory of the pure hatred in Stephen's eyes twisting my nerves into a pretzel. "He's gone. He can't hurt you again." "He held a gun to my head and forced his way into the house." Cammy's gaze narrowed while she stood. "What the fuck? Where is the son of a bitch now? We're going after him." "No need," I whispered. "He threatened me, but I calmed him down, and he finally left." Cammy stared at me like I had lost my mind. I had. "I'm sorry, what? That seems odd, Ella. You're not telling me everything." I nodded. "I know, I can't. He did leave, though, and I'm safe. Those are the important highlights." She blinked at me rapidly before she responded. "Ella, if you're in trouble, then I'm in trouble with you. We have each other's back. I understand that this is a case, but what happened to you is terrifying." Her shoulders slumped, and she placed her palms on the counter, leaning on it. Gratitude flowed through me. Thank you. I love you for that, which is why I've debated telling you or not. You were worried about me, though, and I would need some kind of answer if the situation had been reversed. Girl, I hear some crazy-ass shit in the ER. I can take it, but not as much when it's about my bestie. She pounded on her chest, grinning. I feel like I should do something to help, but I don't know what. Did you call the cops? I grimaced. No, I handled it, and will tell my boss. Death handled it. A flood of emotions knotted in my stomach. My stalker and serial killer saved my life, and I was seeing him differently. That was fucked up. I was fucked up. Cammy rubbed her temples. Of course, you got scared and went toward the danger instead of crawling out of a window and calling the fucking police. I can talk to my cop friend if you want me to. I rubbed my palms on my jeaned thighs. No, I promise you that I'm all right. I don't think the client will be a problem anymore. If he is, I'll ask you to talk to your friend. Worry needled my skin as I wondered if Cammy's relationship with the cop would cause issues down the road for Sebastian and Death. Shit. Like I don't have enough on my plate as it is. Cammy looked at me skeptically, but she remained quiet. She folded her arms over her chest and glared a hole through me. Are you going to say anything to Sebastian? I squirmed in my seat, not liking her line of questioning. I don't think so, but I'm not sure yet. The last thing I need is to have Sebastian worry and hover over me. I ran my fingertips along the rim of my glass, wondering how the hell my life had gotten so complicated. Sebastian is out of town for another week, so it should give me some space to figure things out. I really like him, and I don't want to scare him off with my drama. I get that. I'm glad that Sebastian is gone for a while, too. It will give you time to clear your head. Over the next hour, Cammy and I caught up on her life. As hard as I tried to focus on what she was saying, my mind continued to drift back to Death. I had to find out his real identity. The wheels in my brain began to churn as I mentally weighed the pros and cons of my plan. Little did I know that Death had one of his own.
Chapter 22. Death. In a world filled with wolves, the lamb must learn to be brave, unknown. Killing Stephen had whetted my appetite instead of dampening it. When he'd pointed a gun at Ella, rage coursed through me like an untamed animal. In any other situation, I would have enjoyed drawing out the suffering of my targets before ending their pathetic lives. But this had been different. For Ella, I was willing to do anything and unleash a fury that every man should fear. Earlier, I had taken my second victim of the day, Morris. Normally, I spaced my kills out a few weeks apart, but the rage inside had consumed me, and I'd crossed another name off my list. Just like Stephen, Morris was a piece of shit. He beat his wife and son, but instead of molesting his kid, he sold him for sex. I'd been watching him for months, planning his torture and demise. Unfortunately, Ella had taken up residence inside my head and I got sloppy. Instead of disposing of the body to stall the cops from finding him, I strung the motherfucker on a meat hook in his warehouse. It was too late for me to go back, plus I would risk leaving evidence behind. I always made a painstaking effort to make sure I left no trace of who I was on or around my victims. If I got caught, my good work would have all been for nothing. Cleaning up the scum was a dirty job, but I was more than thrilled to do it. As I arrived at Ella's home for the second night in a row, flashes of her on her kitchen counter with my cum seeping out of her cunt flashed through my mind, my cock responding to the delicious images. If I hadn't fucked her, I wouldn't have messed up with Morris, but I couldn't get hung up on him. I had to see her again. Ella was my obsession, and if I weren't careful, she would also become my weakness. I crept into her backyard, cloaked by the cloudy night sky, and adjusted my Grim Reaper mask. Not even the moon was out, which made seeing my girl much easier. Out of habit, I jiggled the doorknob on her kitchen door, but instead of finding it locked, it gave way. Odd. Cautious, I eased it open and slipped into her home. Silence consumed the house, threatening to swallow it. My ears perked up as I heard the sound of the shower coming from her ensuite bathroom. It had been a while since I'd seen a video of Ella in there. I entered her room, grinning as I noticed the door was wide open. Ella's curvy silhouette grabbed my attention. My cock twitched, wondering if my little lamb was carrying my baby yet. I suspected that she ran to the pharmacy and bought more pills to force her body to expel my attempts. That was a mistake. But it didn't matter. I would win in the end. The shower turned off, and she stepped out, grabbing a towel from the toilet seat and patting herself dry. When she finished, she finally looked up. Stumbling backward, she screamed and covered herself. I thought you were welcoming me in, little lamb. Your back door was unlocked, and you were putting on quite a show for me. I wish I'd arrived sooner, but I had plans.
You scared the shit out of me. I wasn't sure if you were going to drop by or not, but you could have said something, let me know you were here.
I threw my head back and laughed. Why would I do that? When seeing the terror on your face is so much more entertaining.
Asshole,
she mumbled as she hung up the towel over the shower door. Careful, I growled dangerously. My eyes feasted on her large tits and curve of her hips. She was built to carry my spawn. Ella grabbed her black robe with pink flowers across the chest and secured the tie around her waist.
What are you doing here? I gave you what you wanted.
She strode past me, as if she hadn't a care in the world. My molars ground together. I was about to give her one. My attention landed on her full, curvy ass, as she walked to the kitchen with her shoulders squared. My little lamb was feeling confident around me.
I assume you're staying for a while. Can I offer you something to drink? Whiskey? Water?
She looked up at the ceiling and placed a contemplative finger on her chin.
Bleach?
She offered me a sweet smile, her gaze flashing with defiance. I tugged on my black gloves and flashed her a sinister grin. She was giving me attitude. Let her, because she wouldn't like mine when I gave it back to her. A shot of whiskey. With her back turned to me, I folded my arms across my chest and focused on her every move. My cock throbbed with the idea of her cunt wrapped around my shaft. Soon. Ella poured our drinks, then offered mine to me.
Cheers.
And what are we toasting to? Now that she was looking at me, I realized her eyes were swollen and red. My little lamb was hiding behind a facade. I set the glass down on the counter, noticing a slight twitch at the corner of her lips. Why have you been crying? She sipped her drink, staring at the floor before her gaze returned to mine.
Why do you want to know? It's not like you care.
Try me.
I spent the day with my father. The treatment isn't working.
She said, the grief in her tone, heavy with a confession. There aren't any other options.
No. This was the last hope. I was paying for his trial by working for the website. It was good money, but I suspect you were at least half of that income.
I offered her a sinister grin as I approached, dragging my knuckles down her soft cheek. I leaned near her ear and whispered, "I was your only income." Her body stiffened, and she attempted to pull away, but I was faster. I wrapped my gloved hand around her pretty little neck, choking her. "My cock is so damn hard right now as your cheeks redden, and you attempt to beg me for air." Chuckling, I released her and stepped back.
"What do you mean you were my only income?"
She rubbed her neck, her eyes flashing with hatred. "Your first few videos were very popular, so I paid someone to reroute the future ones you posted. I was the only one watching you, little lamb. After your first four, any money you made came from my pockets, no one else's. Once we started chatting, you were mine. You just didn't know it yet." Her expression twisted with shock and anger.
"How much of my life has been dictated by you behind the scenes?"
I took her drink from her and set it on the opposite counter, away from mine. Removing one of my gloves, I tucked it in my back pocket before I pinned her against the refrigerator. My hand slipped beneath the hem of her robe, and I grabbed her pussy hard enough to make her yelp. "I knew about your father and the failed trial. I know your bosses and what cases you're working on. I know when you sleep, shower, wake in the middle of the night and check your phone, terrified that your father has already died." I moved the hem of her robe out of my way and gently spread her pussy lips apart. "My little lamb is nice and wet for me already." I shoved a finger into her cunt, and she gasped. "I know your darkest secrets, what drives you to dance on the edge. I'm here to stoke that fire. When I finish destroying you and piecing you back together, my little lamb will burn for me." Her tongue darted over her full lower lip, her gaze heavy with need.
"I don't have any secrets. I'm an open book."
"How quickly a lie falls from that pretty mouth of yours." I shoved another finger inside her, manipulating her body just as I'd manipulated her life over the last 12 months. It had been fun, but it was time to take things to the next level. Her chest rose and fell as she neared an orgasm. I pulled away before I gripped the back of her neck, forcing her to look at me. "I know you spiked my drink, little lamb." Ella's eyes widened as she attempted to shake her head.
"I don't understand what you're talking about."
"Another lie. While you were holding your dad's hand, I was here waiting for you. You didn't hide the sleeping pills very well. I'm curious, what exactly were you hoping to accomplish by drugging me?" She gulped, terror flashing through her gaze.
"Ripping your mask off to see who you are would have been a lame attempt. Before my hand even reached your neck, you would have overpowered me. I want your fingerprints. I want to know who you are."
"An intelligent, cunning woman, deserving of a crown. I've already told you, I'm death."
"Who are you beneath the mask, behind the screen?"
she asked, her hand trembling at her side. Rage and admiration for her failed attempt to blindsight me raced through my veins. I guided her to her knees, then stood and walked across the room. I grabbed a chair from her dining table and sat on it, adjusting my cock through my black pants. "I'll tell you who I am, but you have to earn it, my little cum slut." Even with fear evident in her face, she melted with my words. Ella McLeod loved to be degraded. It turned her on. Grinning, I removed my other glove and tossed it on the table. "Do you want to know who I really am?" "Yes." She rubbed her arms, eagerness flickering to life in her expression. I spread my legs, the outline of my dick evident through my slacks. I indicated for her to come closer. Like a good whore, she crawled to me with her head down, bowing. She was a fast learner. Ella kneeled in front of me, and I flipped open my pants button. My zipper, slowly lowering, was the only sound in the room. Wrapping my fingers around my thick shaft, I reached down and tilted her chin up. "I'll tell you who I am, little lamb. I'm the only man allowed to break you. I am your god, and you will bow and worship me." A little whimper escaped her, and it stirred my dark soul. "Who do you serve?"
"You."
Ella's nipples pressed against the satin fabric of her robe. I fisted her hair as I continued to stroke my dick. Standing, I repositioned her and pushed her head back onto the seat of the chair before I straddled her face. "Open." My little lamb parted her mouth, and I rubbed the tip of my cock along her lower lip. She licked the pre-cum off and looked up, her green eyes flashing with hunger, hunger for me, hunger for the darkest fantasy she was too terrified to indulge in. I eased past her teeth and groaned as her tongue pressed against the underside of my shaft. "Worship me, Ella. If you do well, I'll forgive you for your lack of judgment. I might even reward you." Her hands flew up and jerked my pants down to my thighs. Her fingernails dug into my flesh, drawing blood as she worked my cock with desperation and need. She moaned around my dick, sending heat up and down my spine. Saliva coated me as she wrapped her hand around my shaft, stroking and sucking in a rhythm that threatened to send me over the edge. Feral desire consumed me, and I pulled out of her mouth. My growl filled the room as I forced her to her feet. I sat on the chair and pulled her down, shoving my cock into her wet hole so hard she cried out. I roughly grabbed her hips, forcing her to take all of me. When I took her the other night, I hadn't given her every inch. If she wanted to earn something, she had to serve her master, which meant she would bend to my will. With one hand, I ripped her robe open, her full breasts bouncing as desire consumed her, and she rode me hard. Heat shot up my back as my attention landed on the still healing cuts on her breasts, my marks on her skin. I leaned over and plucked her taut nipple with my teeth, pulling until I knew it hurt her. Taking her into my mouth, I sucked and lapped up her pain. Ella's moan reached my ears, and I looked at her. Her lips parted as she bounced up and down. That's it. I knew my dirty little lamb could take all of me. Now, I'm gonna come inside you. I dug my fingers into her ass cheeks and bucked my hips, hitting the innermost parts of her. My balls tightened as I shot my seeds deep inside her. The world around me disappeared. The only thing that existed was this stunning woman and the feel of her drenched pussy wrapped around my shaft. Before she had a chance to try to turn on me while I was vulnerable, I placed my hands beneath her and stood. "What are you doing?" she yelped as she threw her arms around my neck for balance as I walked toward her room. I kicked the partially closed door open, then laid her on her bed and grabbed her wrists with one hand. Opening her nightstand drawer, I snatched up the pair of handcuffs and made quick work of securing her to the bed frame. She tugged on them, fire burning in her eyes. "What are you doing?" I tenderly brushed her hair off her forehead. "Getting you pregnant."
Chapter 23. Ella. Furious for allowing myself to get into this position in the first place, I tugged at the stupid cuffs for the 10th time just in case they loosened. Of course they didn't. The sound of my shower running pissed me off even more. The son of a bitch handcuffed me, then strolled to my closet like he owned the damn house and removed a duffel bag full of clothes and toiletries. He had planned it all. My cell phone buzzed, and I searched the room, finally spotting it on my desk. He must have put it there, too far away for me to grab. Fear pulsed through me. Was he going to keep me captive in my own home so I couldn't take the Plan B pill? Even then, I could terminate the pregnancy. I forced myself to think through the scenario and make a plan. The only thought that gave me a thread of peace was if I disappeared, my parents and Cammy would come looking for me. Sebastian would also check in since he was worried about Stephen hurting me. The bathroom door swung open, and a billow of steam swirled around Death as he stepped out in jeans, shirtless. He wore his Grim Reaper mask. "How's my queen feeling?" Quickly, I scanned his chest for any marks that might help me identify who he was, but I didn't see any scars or tattoos. Maybe he'd kept his skin free of any marks that would give him away. He smirked as he leaned against the doorframe. "Peachy, you?" I muttered. He responded with a low chuckle. He strolled over to the bed, spread my legs, and stared at my center. A lump of anxiety formed in my throat before I spoke. "I'll never have your baby. You're wasting your time." My voice trembled as I attempted to hold my ground. "Don't be so sure." He lowered his head and flicked his tongue over my clit. "If you don't fight me, I'll make you come over and over until you're screaming my name." I blew out a shaky breath, doing my best to ignore his touch and the heat building between my thighs. "Why me? I mean, what is it about me that you just couldn't pass up?" "Other than your beauty, your brain, your good heart." He sank his teeth into my inner thigh, causing me to scream and writhe on the bed. "It was none of that. It's the darkness you hide so well from others. But I saw it, Ella. All you need is some training, and you'll stand by my side." "I'll never hurt anyone. I'm not a killer like you are." He sucked my clit, then stroked it with his tongue. "Oh, God." My hips had a mind of their own, and I shamelessly ground against his mouth as he slayed me, shaping me to his will. "I'm not dark like you. I have a soul," I squeaked out. "No matter how many times you fuck me, I won't carry your baby." As accurate as that was, I was totally down for him fucking me. He lifted his head, and something I hadn't seen before flashed in his eyes.
His fingers pushed against my entrance before he slid them to my asshole.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
He eased a finger into each hole. I fisted my hands, my fingernails digging into my palms, and mentally begged for him to let me come. He removed his hand, leaving me desperate once again. I pursed my lips together in order not to groan. He walked back to the bathroom and returned, pulling on a gray t-shirt before he disappeared again. A few minutes later, he was back with what I assumed was a fresh drink. He set mine on the nightstand. How am I going to take a drink?
If you want one, I'll give it to you.
He sat in my office chair and faced me. How long are you keeping me handcuffed to my bed?
As long as I want to, but it depends on you. I have somewhere to be in a few hours. I'll either take the cuffs off or not. We'll see how it goes.
I gritted my teeth to not get snarky with him. Why in the hell my mouth had a mind of its own when I was scared was beyond me. If we're going to spend quality time together, will you tell me something about yourself? Maybe talking would soothe my soul, but I doubted it. He chuckled.
You'll use it against me.
My focus shifted as I stared at him, seeing a man who hadn't completely given himself to the darkness. Working with criminal attorneys allowed me to study the men and women who walked through our office doors. Maybe I could still reach him and save lives. When he had mentioned I also had a darkness inside, he was partially right, but we weren't the same. Although I'd been pulled toward a darker existence for a long time, my desire to help others trumped it. If I played my cards right, maybe there was hope for him, too. Or maybe I was just crazy as hell. I'm an accomplice to murder. Or did you forget about Stephen?
Of course not. I track all of my kills.
I heard serial killers keep a memento from each event. Is that true? He crossed his legs and smoothed his hand down his thigh.
Most do. I don't. Nor do I revisit where I took their life. Your house is the exception. For the most part, I'm not your textbook criminal, little lamb. Don't put me in the same box as others.
The more he talked, the more questions I had. Since I had sat in on many cases where my bosses questioned the criminals they represented in court, it was only a matter of time before death gave me a tidbit I could sink my teeth into and find out who he was.
And when you do, what then?
Are you different in other ways?
I was trained to kill and walk away without attachment.
Holy shit. Trained? My forehead creased. You had a mentor? Death threw his head back and laughed. Hard. Goosebumps peppered my skin with a deep, rich sound. After that, I would recognize his laugh in a crowded football stadium filled with chatter and cheers. He was leaving me crumbs, and I would take them. Grateful for something else to think about other than the fact that I was naked and handcuffed with a serial killer's sperm inside me, I quieted my mind. He might want me to have his baby, but our time together was a big mistake for him. He flexed his fingers, and I studied every movement of his muscled and toned body and broad chest. Apparently, he wasn't going to answer me about a mentor. You killed Stephen because he was a threat to me, but I had also mentioned the fact that he hurt his family. He deserved to die. Do you pick your victims randomly, or? He leaned forward and placed an elbow on his knee, remaining silent. My brows rose with his offer. Are you so confident that when you uncuff me, I won't run out of here and straight to the cops?
Yes, because you just said you wouldn't, since you're an accomplice to murder.
I shrugged. Isn't that a good enough reason to trust me and explain how you choose your victims? He leaned back in his chair.
No. And the more I say, the more dangerous you are. If you ever talk to the cops, you would tell them everything.
I would put us both in jeopardy.
Not really. You work for powerful men who could clear your name within a few days. Stephen held a gun to your head. It would be considered self-defense. And when proof of what he was doing to his daughter landed in the judge's hands, the case would miraculously disappear. Stephen's death sentence would be justified.
I stared at him, his words sinking in. Who are you that you can sway a judge? The muscles in his broad chest flexed as he lifted his glass and took a drink.
A more powerful man. Always know your opponent before you strike, little lamb.
I racked my brain for anyone that I knew with that kind of influence. My bosses were well respected, and I suspected a bit shady, but not like death.
I handpick my victims. Men who are pedophiles, deal in sex trafficking, beat their wives, or rape their children. I wash the earth in their blood.
My heart thundered, pounding against my ribs with his confession. You're an unhinged savior. A flicker of knowing flew through my mind faster than I could grasp it and form a full thought. My gut was trying to tell me something, but I wasn't sure what yet.
Call it whatever you want.
He walked over to the bed and sat on the side, the mattress dipping beneath his weight. He smoothed my hair, and for a second I lost myself in his touch. You're not a monster, I whispered.
Don't fool yourself, little lamb. I am most definitely a monster.
Fear bubbled up inside me, but I pushed it down. I was about to do something potentially stupid. Come here. My voice was soft and filled with yearning. Our gazes locked, and my throat tightened with fear, but what I was about to do was worth the risk. I shut my eyes and pressed my mouth to his. He jerked away as if I had burned him, but before I could say anything, his lips crashed down on mine again. His touch was like 1,000 needles piercing my skin, commanding and consuming me in one swift motion. As I opened up entirely to him, I felt the power shift as he took control with a ruthless determination. I arched my back and moaned, eager for him to dominate me. This monster was turning me inside out, and all I could do was beg for more. He broke the kiss and ran the tip of his nose across my jawline to my ear.
If I'm not careful, you'll be the death of me.
Unable to help myself, I smiled.
You've earned something tonight, little lamb. I have the power to make your deepest desires come true.
A wave of sadness warred with longing. I was afraid that no one could do it, no matter how powerful they were. I forced my thoughts away from the direction they inevitably headed and back to his kiss. An orgasm?
No. Something that will last you a lifetime.
His mouth brushed my neck and chills coasted over my skin. As the words fell from his lips, my world stopped, tilting on its axis as the air whooshed from my lungs. Sucking in a sharp breath, I clung to his promise. Chapter 24, Ella. I climbed into my car and drove toward my parents' house from the law office. My heart pounded in my chest as I remembered the shock that coursed through me when, 4 days ago, Death shared that he could save my father. The more I learned about him and saw the glimmering humanity beneath his exterior, the more a twisted attraction continued to grow and deepen within me, an alluring fascination with his dark side. Knowing he lived on the edge, as both judge and executioner of his victims, I should have been shrinking away from Death, instead of gravitating closer to him. 20 minutes later, I pressed the doorbell to my parents' home and then gently pushed open the door. The comforting aroma of freshly baked pumpkin bread enveloped the air, bringing an instant smile to my face. I placed my purse on the familiar coat rack and slipped my phone into the back pocket of my jeans. Locking the bolt behind me, a wave of nostalgia and security washed over me. Over the years, my parents had renovated each room. The dark, polished hardwood floors gleamed beneath my feet, perfectly set against the warm tan walls. They were adorned with family photos, each frame capturing a moment, a memory, a shared adventure of our family's journey together. I followed the sounds from the kitchen, my tummy growling in anticipation of Mom's baked goodies. "Hey," I said, entering the room and smiling at the woman covered in flour. Mom wiped her hands on her once black apron decorated with tiny apples, then warmly embraced me. "Hi, honey. I'm stress baking." She stirred the mixture in the stainless steel bowl and glanced at me. "Is it helping?" I leaned against the tan granite counter, staying out of her way as she continued to whip up a batch. Mom turned to me and wiped her forehead with the back of her hand. "Nothing helps, but you know that." Her voice broke with the weight of the situation. "I'm losing the love of my life and you're losing your father." Tears welled in her eyes and her shoulders sagged. "Mom, it's why I wanted to see both of you today. Is he awake?" Confusion clouded her expression as she walked over to the kitchen table and peered at the camera that she'd set up to watch Dad when she wasn't in the same room as him. "I think so, but maybe tell me what's going on first." "Sure, but it's nothing bad, so don't worry. It might actually be an answer we've been searching for." I offered her a sincere smile. "A few days ago, a friend told me that he has access to a new clinical trial that's in its testing phase. It's not even available yet, but the success is astronomical. There are also some political and financial issues going on behind the scenes, slowing the process of the treatment, but it's doing really well with minimal side effects." Mom stilled, staring at me.
"Are you saying that your friend can get your father in?"
"Yeah. He gave me the doctor's name, and I reached out to him on Monday, but it took him a few days to get back to me. We had a nice chat. I told him all about Dad and what he'd been through. Dr. Magna said if we can get him to California, then he can work with him. He thinks Dad has a good chance of beating the cancer, Mom." To my surprise, she burst into tears, her thin body shaking with her sobs. "This is wonderful news. Why are you crying?" I strode across the kitchen and wrapped her in my arms.
"I'm scared to hope. We've tried so many things, Pumpkin."
"I know, it's been a messed up emotional roller coaster. We see some hope, then the rug is jerked out from beneath us again. I have a good feeling about it this time. We just need to get him on board." She broke our embrace and wiped the moisture from her face.
"If you think this will give him a chance to live, then if I have to, I'll knock him out and throw him in the car."
Unable to suppress my laughter, I hugged her again. "I would love to be involved with the kidnapping." If only she knew I was an accomplice to so much more.
Are you at a place to take a break from baking so we can talk to Dad together?
She glanced at the ingredients that were scattered across the kitchen island.
Yeah, now is good. Then I'll finish this batch of banana bread. I promised Cammy that I would make some pumpkin muffins for her, too. She's been such a sweetheart, stopping by several times a week. I'll give your dad a pot brownie while we have fresh muffins and milk.
She cracked a grin at me.
Never in my lifetime did I think I would be happy about getting your father high, but here we are.
If things go well, it won't be for much longer. Let's stay as positive as possible for him. You and I can talk in private and say anything that we need to. Mom took a deep breath.
Can you tell your friend that we want to accept his offer?
Of course. I'll let you know when I talk to him, and we can plan for you to take time off work and stay in Mount Shasta, California. We'll figure out the money. My stomach churned at the idea of having to work online again. But then Death's words tapped me on the head. No one else was viewing them. He had put a stop to that. Shit. I would have to think of another way to cover the medical costs. Inwardly, I shuddered. I was still paying off Dad's other bills. It was time to see if I had enough equity in my home. If so, maybe it would be enough to cover the trial. I would do anything to save his life. Exhausted, I let myself into my house and set the alarm. I wasn't sure why I bothered anymore. Nothing would keep Death out when he wanted to see me. After tossing my handbag on the couch, I walked to the kitchen and poured myself a whiskey and Coke. The rest of the afternoon had gone well, and Dad seemed hopeful about the trial. Since he had nothing to lose, it was worth one final shot. As soon as I saw Death, I would make the arrangements. I sank into the sofa and rubbed my temples as I attempted to sort through my feelings. I'm so fucked up, I muttered. I'm falling for a serial killer, and I have no clue who he is. Or did I? When I was cuffed to my bed and Death talked, something about his mannerisms piqued my interest. Unfortunately, as soon as the thought popped into my head, it was gone again. My phone chimed in my purse, and I rummaged around until I retrieved it from the bottom. The screen announced a call from unknown, but I had a sneaking suspicion I knew who it was. Hello?
Hey, it's Sebastian. Is this a bad time?
My chest warmed at his voice.
No, I just got back from my parents and settled in on the couch with a drink. How are you? When are you coming home?
His sigh traveled over the line.
Tired. More so than normal, but this particular job was more difficult than expected. It's taken a lot out of me, and we have another one before I can come back to Portland.
Why was it harder? I chewed on my bottom lip, knowing better than to ask.
I'm sorry. I understand you can't give any details, but can I help in any way?
I sipped my drink, the bubbles from the soda tickling my nose.
Simply hearing your voice is helping.
His tone held such warmth and vulnerability that a wave of longing washed over me. Everything inside me responded, and I was overwhelmed by the need to be with him. How could I be torn between two men?
Sebastian, I began gently. We're still getting to know each other, but I can't help but feel there is something else on your mind. I can't imagine how hard your work is. Seeing what you see can mentally wear you down. I just want you to know that I'm here if you need to talk.
The seconds ticked by as a heavy silence fell between us.
I'm starting to think that this life isn't for me anymore, Ella. I'm gone all the time, and it's dangerous. I don't mind because I'm helping women and kids, but I'm considering handing things off to Dope and a few others. I can still fund the projects, but work more in the background versus in the field.
My brows arched with his confession, and I wondered what was driving the change.
Have you been thinking about this for a while?
Off and on, but I won't lie. I miss you, Ella. I feel like I'm missing out on spending time with you, and I'm not liking it very much. I've not felt that way about anyone before. Not like this. Belonging engulfed me like a blanket. Its warmth threatening to swallow me whole as I grappled with the realization that I cared deeply about both Death and Sebastian. I doubted my feelings for Sebastian would disappear just because I found myself seamlessly drawn to both, caught in their magnetic pool of good and evil. Really? I chewed on my bottom lip, loving the sound of seeing him more often.
Yeah.
It's different for me. I'm 40. I've dated, but I haven't ever felt that there was a possibility of settling down with anyone until recently. I'm not saying let's run off and get married or anything crazy, just that I would like to spend my time differently. And with you. Closing my eyes, I allowed my thoughts to soar with the idea of dinners, long walks, movie marathons while wrapped in Sebastian's strong arms, and lazy afternoons. I missed him, and I couldn't wait for him to come home. Sebastian, I would love to see you more, but I can't be the reason that you step down from the work you're doing. The world needs you.
And I need time with you. I can still do a lot of good work behind the scenes.
Responding to his blunt honesty, I fought the urge to tell him I needed him too. Losing myself in the moment, I sucked in a deep breath as my pulse pounded against my wrist.
Since I've met you, Ella, I look forward to seeing you when you visit the bar. You've given me a new perspective, and I'm interested in seeing what could happen between us.
My heart and mind played tug of war as I weighed out my developing feelings for Sebastian and Death, two completely different men. One fed my darkness, the other fed the light. Inwardly, I groaned. I was in bigger trouble than I realized.
I'd like that too. And I've missed you more than I thought was possible. At least you were able to call.
Good. I'm glad you're wanting the same thing. I'll call as soon as I can. As far as I'm concerned, burner phones are a gift from the heavens. I'll use one to call you, then stomp on it and throw it away.